Well, if you have your Bibles, open up to John chapter 8. As we are walking through John, last week we talked about Jesus and, well, every week we talk about Jesus, right? Well, we were focusing on one of the I am statements, and today we're going to focus on another I am statement. So we'll be beginning in John chapter 8, verse 12, because I wanted us to continue with the theme of Jesus saying, I am, and then followed by something. And I want to remind you that every time Jesus uses that phrase, I am, what he's doing is he is proclaiming that he is divine. He is proclaiming that he has a direct connection with the God of the Old Testament, his Father, the God in Exodus chapter 3, when Moses is talking to him, he's appearing as a burning bush, and Moses says, what's your name? And he says, I am who I am. I am that I am, the unchanging, eternal God. And Jesus, when he makes these statements, he's saying, yeah, that's me too. We cannot forget that Jesus is God. Jesus is divine. And we'll see it multiple times, and today we'll even see it. When Jesus says that phrase, I am, people get rattled. They get frustrated because they don't want Jesus to say, I'm God. They know that that's what he's doing, but they're frustrated about that because he's appearing as the Messiah, as the Christ, but not meeting their expectations. He's not exactly who they thought he would be. They're expecting some conqueror that will come and defeat Rome and lead the nation of Israel into physical superiority. And Jesus says, I'm here for your souls. I'm here to seek and to save the lost. I'm here for a spiritual freedom. I'm here to give life to those that are dead. And the people, by and large, look at that, hear that, and say, that's not exactly what we had in mind. That's not exactly what we wanted. But it's what they needed. And so Jesus, in chapter 8, verse 12, he speaks to them and saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. As I read that, I can't help but think to an Old Testament passage. It's in Psalm chapter 19. And so Psalm chapter 19, as I just read it a few moments ago, is one of the most beautiful, incredible chapters in the Bible. It's the longest one. And Psalm chapter 119, did I say that? Okay. Chapter 119 is one of the longest chapters in the Bible, is the longest. And it's so incredible, so beautiful, really cool, because it's actually an acrostic. So every stanza, if you will, every section is correlating with a Hebrew letter of the alphabet. A letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so it's all about the law. It's all about God's word. It's all about the beauty of following God's word. So when I read Jesus say, I am the light of the world, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I run to this specific passage that I'm going to read in a few moments because it just makes a lot of sense. In verse 105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In John chapter 1, how is Jesus described? It says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So here in Psalm 119, it's talking about the written word. The psalm writer is writing and saying, your word, your law, your commandments, all these things are sweet. They're beautiful. We just read it before, a few minutes ago. How can a young man or a woman or old man or old woman, how can anyone keep their way pure? By guarding their heart according to what? God's word. And so it's important that we as believers know what God's word is. This is what God has revealed to us about who he is and what he has done. This is important. We can't just say, oh yeah, the Bible's nice, it's good. It's one of those helpful, you know, handbooks for life. It's so much more. In 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says, God says, all scripture is breathed out by God, inspired by God, and profitable. So when we read Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path, we cannot help but connect that to Jesus. in the New Testament, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us, saying, I am the light of the world. We as believers are able to see what is in this world. We are able to discern what our next steps should be because we are focused on the Word of God and we are following the living Word of God, Jesus Christ. You understand that? You following that? So Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. And then as we read that, we have to think about, again, John chapter 1. What does it say about darkness? It says that the darkness cannot, will not, never will be able to defeat the light. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness can't overcome it. A couple chapters later, what do we read about human beings, you and me? You know what we love? The darkness. We love the darkness. That's our natural default. We are sinners by nature and by choice. It's our default setting to love the darkness because the darkness hides our evil deeds. And Jesus came to expose those evil deeds. And he came to lead us into light, into life. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Again, earlier in this very book of John, it says that Jesus is the light of men, the life of men. Verse 13, so the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where am I going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even as I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. Let's just clear this up in case you're a little confused. The Pharisees, they're looking at Jesus and they're saying, okay, you're making all these wild claims about yourself. You're telling us that you're God. You're telling us that you come from the Father. You're telling us that you're something special and you're something awesome. But who are we to believe you because you're just one person. You're just one man making all these wild claims about yourself. We in our law, if somebody wants to make claims, they want to make witness about something, there needs to be two. So ha, we got you on a technicality, Jesus. Your testimony is not true. And Jesus says, it doesn't say he sighed, but I figure he sighs there. He says, okay, fine. Well, I'm God, so I can, you know, bear witness about myself, but sure, we'll play by your games for just a second here. He says, I am one witness who's telling you who I am and what I am. And you know who the other witness is? God the Father. Earlier, in a couple chapters earlier, Jesus says that God literally has spoken the whole Old Testament and it points to Jesus. It's about him. And so Jesus said, fine, even if we play by your games, there's one, there's the Father. We're both bearing witness that I am God. We're both bearing witness that I am the Messiah. Both bearing witness that I am Christ. I am the light of the world. Verse 19, they said to him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. It's an incredible, incredible answer there. You know neither me nor my Father. You know who Jesus is talking to? He's talking to religious leaders. He's talking to people that would have known this Old Testament, who would have been able to recite lots of it by heart. He's talking to people that would have known the stories of old. They would have known Daniel and Abraham and David and Isaac and Samuel. They would have known the patriarchs. They would have known how God spoke to Moses, how God spoke to Abraham, how God spoke to Noah. They would have known all these things. But what did Jesus just say to them? You don't know him. You don't know God. You don't know the Father. And it makes me think of another psalm. And this is in Psalm 103. Psalm 103, we read this. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the people of Israel. Now that's a reference back to Exodus chapter 33. When God is talking with Moses and Moses pleads before God, he says, Lord, show me your ways. And this is in a context where Moses would go and he'd speak with God. And he would then, after he gets done speaking with God, he'd then go to the Israelites and he said, okay, this is what God says. This is the commandment that God has. This is what God wants us to do. And when the people ever had a question, they said, what should we do next? Or what would God think about this? They don't go and ask God. They go to Moses and they say, hey, Moses, can you talk to God for us? So Moses becomes like a mediator. And Moses spends so much time with God, so much time communing with God, that it literally tells us that he walked out of the tent and his face was shining and the people looked away. And they said, oh, that's too bright. Moses, you're glowing. He wasn't pregnant or anything. But he's spending time with God and it rubbed off. And it was so bright, so he was so glowing, the people couldn't take the fact that he was so close to God that they made him wear a veil over his face. Do you see the difference between those two encounters? You have one group of people that are listening to someone say, this is what God said, and then they're trying to obey it, most of the time very unsuccessfully. They know God's commands. They've heard the stories. They've known that God says A, B, and C. They see and they listen and they know that God split the Red Sea. They know all of these deeds, all of these acts. But they're not the one whose faces are glowing. No, that's Moses. Because Moses got on his knees and he says, Lord, I know these things that you have done, but I want to know you. I know you've done these great things. I know that I could probably recite back some of these things, but I want to know your ways. I want to know you. It's the perfect illustration between knowing about God, knowing of God, and knowing God. And so Jesus, now in John chapter 8, he's talking to these Pharisees, these religious leaders, and he says, guys, you know about God. You know the things that he's done, but you don't know him. And so therefore you don't know me. So the question for all of us today is, do you know about God or do you know him? Could you recite back Bible verses or tell me what the basic ideas of the faith are? Or can you tell me, in addition to all those things, because those aren't bad things, but can you tell me, I know my Savior. I love my Savior. He loves me more than I could ever, ever deserve. And so it is with everything in me that I want to love him. I want to serve him. I want to know him more. Jesus, as the light of the world, he reveals things. He exposes things. As believers, we know that Jesus, he will allow us to see the things and go in the direction we ought to go. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. There's an amount of faith that needs to take place as we walk forward in this life, as we follow Jesus. But we also need to allow the light of the world, the Savior that we proclaim to follow, we also need to allow him to shine a light in our own hearts and say, Lord, would you evaluate me? Would you help me to see the things that maybe are blind spots to me? Would you help me to see and be aware of the things that you're exposing in my life? The things that are not of you. Because I don't want to just know about you. I want to know you. I want to fall more and more in love with you each and every day. And you know what? If we allow that to happen, if we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us, to convict us of sin, if we respond to Him as He is working in our life to make us more like Jesus, if we allow that, you know, it's going to rub off. People are going to see a difference. Just like Moses coming out of the tent and his face is shining, our lives will be the biggest billboard to say, yes, I do follow Jesus. So is your light shining? Is the light shining in your life? Are you a reflection of your Savior? Are you a reflection of the light of the world? You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father. You see, we cannot know the Father without knowing Jesus. We cannot follow God. We cannot be good. We cannot do anything in this life that is of any eternal significance if we aren't first and foremost following Jesus, serving Him, loving Him, knowing Him. You know how you know God? You know how you know what God wants for your life? You know how you know what you should do? I just read it earlier. We read His Word. How can we keep from sinning? How can we keep from stumbling? How can we keep from displeasing our God? How can we make sure that we not only know about Him, but that we know Him by guarding our hearts according to His Word that He's given us, He's revealed to us? So, friends, today I want us to walk out of here with that question. Is Jesus' light shining in your life? But I also want us all to do some serious self-evaluation. Do I know about Jesus or do I know Him? If I know Him, I want to know Him more. If I only know about Him, I want to put my trust in Him. I want to say, Lord Jesus, will You be Lord of my life? Would You help me to follow You? Would You help me each and every single day to put my trust in You? Would You help me each and every single day to realize that I am a sinner by nature and by choice, and I need You because You are the Savior. You're the only one who conquered sin, only one who conquered death. You alone can lead me into life. You alone can lead me into light. You alone can expose the darkness in my path and the darkness in my heart. So, Lord Jesus, would You do that? That should be our prayer every single morning. Lord, help me to live for You. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You for Jesus, the living Word that we read about in Your written Word. You've revealed who You are to us. So, Lord, I pray that we don't just simply are satisfied by knowing about You. We're not just simply satisfied in knowing the stories, reading the Bible every once in a while. No, Lord, we want to know Your heart. Help us, Lord, to hate the things that You hate. Help us to hate and despise sin. Help us to love righteousness. Help us to live a life that is full and overflowing with joy, overflowing with Your compassion and kindness. Lord, let us live a life that is pleasing to You. Lord, as You light our paths, as You show us the way that we ought to go, Lord, help us to remember that it's all about Jesus. Help us to know Him, to love Him, to draw closer to Him, and let His light reflect in our lives to all those around us. Let us be shining beacons of the love of Christ to this world that is watching. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.